You will be required to do wrong, no matter where you go. It is the basic condition of life to be required to violate your own identity. At some time, every creature which lives must do so. It is the ultimate shadow, the defeat of creation. This is the curse at work, the curse that feeds on all life, everywhere in the universe. Welcome to Uncasting. Today we are going to be talking about Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? The novel by Philip K. Dick. I'm your host, Brian.
And I'm Max, your other host today. How are you all doing out there in the podcast libraries now that we're actually releasing episodes?
I thought I'd start with a little darker quote from the book.
Yeah, a little bit different. It's still just as good. Really sets the mood for it.
To be clear, there are going to be spoilers for that novel in this episode, as in most of our episodes.
And possibly the movie, too, because I don't think we can talk about either one of them without having spoilers for both.
True. But we're focusing our casting on the novel, not the book. Not the movie.
Not the movie, yeah.
Right.
I recently read the book in the last year or so, finally picked up a copy of Do Androids Dream, and absolutely I should have read the book first before watching the movie. I was blown away with how good the book was. So if you haven't read Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, pick up a copy. It's definitely different than the movie, but different in so many good ways.
They took some elements from the book to make the movie. But there are so many more different characters and so many more different themes to the book that it's a much richer experience. I could talk a lot about Philip K. Dick.
Yeah.
He's one of my all-time favorite authors. I've read so many of his works. Read biographies of his life, but save that for maybe, you know, a different podcast.
Right, exactly. Or for if we ever uncast The Search for Philip K. Dick, which I just picked up a copy of, we could probably uncast that.
That's true. That's one of the ideas that we've thrown around, doing biopics for different famous people.
Yeah. Well, cool. So, want to get right into it? Get into our uncasting. Got to stay on brand, of course.
Right. This is the podcast where, of course, we cast live action projects of other types of media.
Yeah. And we're doing the book today. And
who wants to start?
Yeah. We were talking about this before we started the podcast, but what kind of style of show did you want to? Were you envisioning? I was kind of seeing this as kind of a shorter miniseries, maybe a run on Netflix, like 5 or 6 episodes. It wasn't a very long book, but I think it deserves more than a 2-hour movie.
Yeah, definitely more than a 2-hour movie. I wouldn't want to extend the world past the book much, although because of the way and the time in which PKD, as people called him, wrote, a lot of the stuff that he wrote about came out in many of his short stories, not to the extent that it was a planned, like, shared universe, but just the fact that he was reusing ideas over and over again for his stories. So you could pull out material from other books that he wrote to fill out the universe, but I wouldn't necessarily want to do that. I'd want them all to stand alone.
Yeah, I think standing alone. So that's why I only said like 5 or 6 episodes, and I can't imagine being more than half an hour an episode.
Right.
So just, and it would be only one season, so it would be a mini series.
Right.
Because I don't, I know a lot of people nowadays, Man in the High Castle is another one of his books, and that's on Hulu. And that was an incredibly short book.
Right.
And they're what, second or third season of that?
Third season is coming. Yeah. Yeah.
So I wouldn't want to do that to Blade Runner or do Android's Dream of Electric Sheep.
Right. It's hard not to call it Blade Runner.
I know. So let's get started.
All right. Go ahead. You start first. Okay.
Well, I think we should start with the big one. Let's start with Deckard and we might as well cast his wife, Iran.
Right.
Deckard is the main character in the book.
Did you cast them as a pair then?
I did.
Okay.
And Deckard and Iran's relationship are... there's some friction. They take pills to manage each other.
Mm-hmm.
But they still love each other. They're still the, I guess, American dream family.
Right. But they're definitely alienated from each other in the story at the start.
And they don't really, I guess, connect all that well.
Right.
So.
Which ties into the main theme of the.
Right.
Of the book.
And
so who did you see as Rick and Iran?
I said Diego Luna.
Oh, interesting.
And Úrsula Corberó.
I don't know who that is.
She is a Spanish actress. She was in Money Heist on a TV show and on the Snatch TV show as well. I was prepared this time. Here's a picture of her.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's...
Úrsula Corberó.
I have it, Úrsula Corberó.
Okay.
That's how... I looked it up, the pronunciations this time,
okay.
To try and make sure I could get this right. I prepared.
Nice. Very well.
I know Diego Luna from Rogue One and a couple other things, and I think he would portray Rick Deckard as the classic detective noir, and I think him and Úrsula... be able to play off each other really well and build that kind of relationship.
Yeah, that would be good. I could totally see that.
Yeah, and my other choice was Michael B. Jordan and Elizabeth Moss, who is in Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, yeah. She would be really good as Iran.
Yeah.
I can see that.
So those are my picks for them.
Good choices. I didn't cast these as a pair, but since you did them both at the same time, I'm going to do both of them. My first choice for Rick, and Rick Deckard was the last character I cast. I thought it might be interesting to see John Cho.
Okay.
He's been in a lot of things, but his big star role is as Sulu in the new Star Trek movies.
He wasn't in Harold and Kumar, right?
Harold and Kumar.
Yeah, he was. Yep.
He's got that kind of cool charm.
Definitely.
You know, he could play a bounty hunter like Rick Deckard. He's young enough that, the character arc, he's still learning the ropes, so to speak.
Right. And I think in the book, he isn't a master bounty hunter. He's just he's been doing it for a couple of years, so he's proficient.
Right.
But this is like his first real big assignment.
But he also would have that, you know, that internal life that would deal with the struggle of the fact that he kills other things for a living, you know?
Right. Whether they're human or robots, he has to take a life.
Right.
And struggle with, and that's the big question, struggling with whether robot life is the same as human life.
Right. And there's all sorts of examples in the story that we will get to. My second choice for Rick was Oscar Isaac.
Oh, yeah.
Also, definitely a cool, charming kind of guy. Could be a lead in a major production, of course.
He's one hell of a pilot. He's
one hell of a pilot. and again, young enough, because we'll get to another character. There's another character who's kind of an older mentor character to him. I thought they're bouncing. Well, yeah, I was thinking in terms of, you know, the whole cast.
Yeah.
Iran, alienated, but not lost. Like, she can still be reached.
Right.
I think, as a character. Just kind of, you know, having to deal with the struggle of the world that they live in. The book takes place after World War Terminus, I believe, which is like they stopped counting the world wars. There were so many of them. They right. just, yeah.
And just
it was
to
the
mention,
last one.
Just to mention that both of these characters are millennials.
Right.
Or I should say young adults under 40 right now.
The original, yeah. The original book was set in 1998, the far future world of 1998, because it was written back in the 60s. But I didn't look up the actual date when it was written. But yeah, and then in later books, they moved it forward to 2021, which is still, you know, it's like 3 years away. So
yeah, we're almost in that future.
So, Iran, I'm rambling. My first choice was Laura Prepon. She was originally on that 70s show.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
She's also on Orange is the New Black.
Okay, yep. Yeah, she would be really good in that role.
Smart, but not, but kind of a slow smart. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
And cool, and she could play that part, I think, really well. My second choice, another Netflix show, Betty Gilpin. She's on Glow.
Okay, haven't seen that
yet.
Yeah,
you should see it. It's really good.
I think I'll have
Betty Gilpin is amazing on Glow because her character is, to all intents and purposes, the antagonist to the main character played by Alison Brie. She's one of those characters that you hate, but you love watching her because she's just so good at what she's doing. She's always out for herself. But she does it in such an interesting and funny way. It's you can't take your eyes off of her. I thought she would be an interesting choice for the. I mean. Not really a second lead,
but you depending can write on how you wrote
the, you could write it that
I
way.
I would imagine, especially with Iran, she wasn't all that much in the book, but I feel like she's a main enough character that during the writing process, you would write her more lines and
give her more interesting things to do.
Exactly, other than just taking mood pills and watching TV and complaining about
right
not having a real sheep.
Right. The ultimate status symbol, a sheep
or an owl. I would want an owl.
I think the owl, yeah, the owl would be cooler, I think. And then the next power couple in the story,
we're doing the power couples,
Roy and Irmgard and
Batty.
Right, Roy, yeah. Batty and Irmgard Batty. I'm not even sure how you pronounce the name Irmgard, so
well,
forgive me, any Irmgards out there. If you're
please
listening.
Write us and tell us how to really pronounce your name.
Yes. Tell us how. So, Roy and Irmgard, when I was reading through the schmoop notes on this, they said that Roy and Irmgard were essentially the most... I can't remember the right phrasing, but they're like the most functional couple in the book. Like they work well together. You know, they definitely care for each other. They definitely communicate way more than Rick and Irma or Iran. But they're also, you know, terrifying killer robots.
Right. Who have no empathy for anything other than themselves.
Right. So that plays into the people that I cast for the role. Michael B. Jordan.
Okay.
Who you actually chose for Rick Deckard.
Yeah.
And Jason Statham was my other choice.
Oh, yeah, that would be... like I can just
you know, Terminator type.
Yeah. That was for Roy, right?
That's for Roy. And then Irmgard, my choices were... and I didn't cast them as a pair, really. Charlize Theron.
Okay, yeah.
Also, you know...
Furiosa.
Right, or Concrete Blonde? No,
Atomic Blonde. Yep.
Sorry. Concrete Blonde is a band. Or Mila Jovovich. Hovovich? I believe it's Hovovich.
Yeah.
Also, you know, could definitely play a very sexy killing machine.
Yep, and she's played that role a number of times. pretty much all the Resident Evil movies are basically that.
Yes.
Sexy killing robot machine.
Right.
Well, since you didn't put him in a couple, I'm going to just say who I picked for Roy and Irmgard. For Roy, I chose Alexander Skarsgård.
Skarsgård. Nice.
And,
yes.
Yeah, from True Blood. That was right. From what I know him from. He's like the 6'5", big Scandinavian dude.
The best Skarsgård.
Not the oldest.
Not the oldest, but probably the best.
Yeah.
Probably the top Skarsgård.
So I chose him, and then John Bernthal, who plays the Punisher.
Oh,
yeah.
That would be a good one.
Yeah, so I picked them as my Roy. And for the Irmgard, I picked Ruby Rose, which she's in a little bit of the spotlight now because she's playing Batwoman.
Right.
And the other one was Lupita Nyong'o.
Oh, okay.
From Black Panther.
I believe it's Nyong'o.
Nyong'o. Yeah, from Black Panther.
But I could be wrong. Yeah. But,
yeah, she played the basically the royal bodyguard. So already a killing machine.
Right.
And yeah, she's very, very pretty. And I think either pairing her up with Alexander Skarsgård or John Bernthal would work just as well.
Right. Those are also both good picks.
Yeah. Even Ruby Rose with any of the male leads right there would be a really good power couple.
Good choice. Next up is Pris. Who did you have for Pris? We'll take turns.
Okay. Well, for Pris, she was with the baddies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she...
they're a group of androids that have escaped from the off-world colonies.
Right.
And are trying to...
They're slaves, pretty much.
Yes.
Androids get used to be slaves. And she's one of the androids who is with the baddies. And they run into another character in one of the... I guess projects that have been decommissioned because of contaminations and radioactivity. How do you really describe her? She is pretty, a femme fatale, one of the femme fatales in the book again.
Well, she is in a dysfunctional relationship with John Isidore.
Yeah.
They're living with him, basically, kind of taking advantage of him.
Right. And I didn't pair them up so much when I was thinking that one. But for Pris, I chose Gal Gadot and Mila Jovovich, who you already chose.
Oh, I see. This is going to be an interesting poll.
Yeah. So we picked a lot of the same people, but in different roles, it seems like, already.
Yeah. Well, I second-guessed myself on a lot of these. Yeah. Okay. I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pris is, in the movie she was played by Daryl Hannah. In the book, though, she's on the whole, you know, the whole empathy scale of on one end you have empathy for other living creatures and on the other you're a cold feeling robot. She's definitely fell down on the cold, unfeeling robot side of the scale.
Yeah, and she's basic survival, trying to...
all about herself.
Right.
100% herself.
I remember even there was a scene where, like, she was killing a spider or something and just, like, ripping off each of its legs individually.
Right.
Because she had never seen something like that and wanted to pull it apart
and see how it worked.
And see how it worked. And the man that they were living with, basically keeping him hostage in his little home, freaked out about it and was trying to explain empathy to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just went way over her head. And I think either Gail Gabbett or Mila Jovovich would definitely play that role pretty well.
Interesting.
I'm thinking like Leeloo from Fifth Element. Someone a little bit naive. You could play a little bit naive character, like, but still, like, yeah, I'm a killer.
Right.
Who'd you pick?
My first choice is Natalie Dormer.
Okay.
From many things, but she played Marjorie Tyrell on Game of Thrones.
Right.
Cool blonde kind of character. I could see her playing that kind of a role.
Yeah, definitely.
Not necessarily the villain, the antagonist, but an antagonist.
Right.
And then my other choice, Tatiana Maslany.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because, of course, Tatiana Maslany can play anything.
Right. Pretty much.
She could play any of these parts or all of them. You could actually, that might be an interesting choice, just cast Tatiana Maslany as all the female characters in this
Exactly.
Story. But she's done that, so, yeah. You know, give she's her really something that she too. Can dig her teeth into.
That would be an interesting TV series with just her playing all the female leads. Well, they are androids, so they all can look the same.
This is very true.
And maybe there are
different... Are they all androids, Max?
Are they?
Are some of them human?
We don't know. well, I know I could pass that test easily. I have so much empathy.
I'm pretty sure I could. I'm still not sure about the turtle one.
Yeah.
The turtle question. Next character up is Rachel Rosen.
Okay. Let's do her.
Someone that Rick Deckard is kind of infatuated with.
Yeah.
Kind of the prime mover
for the plot.
And someone, at least in the book, you're not quite sure where she falls on the human-android scale.
Yeah.
Mysterious.
But she definitely was an android, right?
She was. Yeah. I mean, it turned out that she was. She was designed specifically to...
beat the test.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My first choice, Hannah John Kamen.
Okay, what was she in?
Who most recently played the ghost in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, yeah. I like that one a lot. that one's good.
Definitely could play, you know, mysterious femme fatale type.
Right.
But someone you could also believe is genetically engineered and designed from the ground up to be exactly that.
Right.
And my second choice, very similar actress, Eva Green.
Yep. Yeah, I know who she is.
also, you know.
She was in Penny Dreadful, right? And she was on a Bond girl? Yep.
She was a Bond girl at one point. Yep. There was another show that she was on too, but I can't remember. She also played the wife in 300.
That's right.
Yeah. Queen, I guess queen, not wife. I should give her a royal title.
I like her. I like her.
Who did you have for Rachel?
I had a little bit of trouble. I went back and forth on a few people. I have a bunch of X's out on my page here on my little notebook. But I think I settled down on...
Production note. Max actually writes his down. I just take notes on my phone.
Yeah.
Electronically. Max actually writes them out in a journal.
Yeah, and I do it in pen, so it's permanent, so I have to like cross things out when I find better fits for the roles. So I chose Zoe Saldana, who we all know as Gamora. Why is Gamora?
Right. Or Uhura.
Yep.
Or the character in Avatar.
Yes, I don't remember her name, but...
No.
Yeah.
Saw that only once.
And the other choice was Emilia Clarke, who we all know from Game of Thrones and Solo.
A Star Wars Story.
A Star Wars Story. Yeah. I just think both of them, they've played that character before, and I would love to keep seeing them in that kind of role. And it's definitely a main role, and they deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they both could play Rachel really well and keep us on our toes of whether she's actually human or not.
Right. Yeah, I could see that. Good choices. Who do you have next on your list?
Well, you want to do John Isidore?
Okay.
Yeah.
The kind of not very smart guy who's kept hostage by the
androids. Yeah, he's his brain has decayed due to the radioactivity in the air.
Because
he doesn't live in the
wasteland
city.
Wasteland,
yeah. I can't remember what Philip K. Dick calls it. But it's definitely the wasteland.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's contaminated out there. And he's, become slower and definitely is not as smart as Rick and all the other characters.
Not all there.
But he feels a lot of empathy towards everyone.
Mm-hmm. Who did you have?
Well, I had a couple choices on there, and it was really hard to try and try not to typecast anyone. I don't think I did, but I went for the comedian role in this one. I think Peter Dinklage, I think, would be pretty good in that role.
Okay.
I would like to kind of see how he would handle that.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that would be good.
And then Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
An actor who definitely disappears into a role.
Right. I would love to see kind of his take on John Isidore and how he handles all these people just entering his life all of a sudden.
Right. That would be fun.
Yeah. Who'd you choose?
I, too, went kind of a comedic kind of role. Saw it more as a comedic type, a character you have a lot of pathos, a lot of sympathy for being taken advantage of. Zach Galifianakis.
Oh yeah. I can totally see that. That's really good.
That might be my top choice. And then my second choice, Chris Pratt.
Nice. I like it.
Playing that kind of down home, kind of sympathetic, but I thought he'd be fun.
He kind of did that in whatever that Passengers movie with Jennifer Lawrence.
Right. Although that was a little creepy.
Yeah.
I don't think everybody thought it was creepy, but right, definitely some people. I think
it's pretty creepy that was creepy. That you wake someone up. Maybe we should just recast that, rewrite it too, where it's less creepy.
That's a story for another time. I could talk about that as well, but.
Well, those are good choices I like. And we have our Chris Pratt in there.
Right, Chris Pratt. If you ever want to go on a podcast, Chris, you have an open invitation to come on our show.
You are always welcome on our podcast.
Yes. I think the next major character would be Phil Resch, the other
bounty hunter. Does he work with Deckard, or he's just another bounty hunter on the
hunter, but he does. I think they work a little bit together in the book. It's been a while since I've read it, but I think they do have some scenes together.
Luba
left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, doesn't Phil Reich die too? He gets killed by one of the androids.
Yeah, and the book kind of plays up this whole, is he an android or is he a human thing?
Right.
But he does eventually pass the test, and he is actually human.
So I kind of picked some people who were, I don't know, maybe not really bad guys, who have played kind of bad guys, but they're not really the bad guy.
Okay. I know exactly the type you're talking about. It's the type of actor where they show up playing kind of a good guy, and you go, they're going to betray someone at some point. They're going to turn out to be just kind of sleazy.
A little bit bad.
Neutral.
They're not the big bad.
A little bit bad, but not the big bad. Right. Yeah. So who did you have?
Winston Duke, who is Mubaka.
Okay.
In Black Panther.
Nice.
And then John Favreau, who was
Favreau, who's kind of, yeah, who's kind of weaselly. Yeah, I could totally see that.
I think either one of those two, I think, would make a good bounty hunter sidekick who you don't know what side they're really on and what their real motivations are.
Right.
And they can,
but you suspect them as being not really
trustworthy,
good,
yeah.
Or trustworthy.
But they turn out to beginning. Be a, good, yeah, a decent person. That. Yeah. Who'd you choose?
My top choice, Tom Cavanaugh.
Okay.
Who plays various incarnations of Harrison Wells. Spoiler alert for the Flash TV show. He's, if you've ever watched that show, I don't think you've seen some of The Flash, right?
I've seen most of the first season of The Flash.
So in the first season, he's, you know, very hard edge and hard, you know, a hard guy to get to know, very super smart, but very competent, but also kind of disdainful. But then in later seasons, he plays like an alternate universe version of that same character who's goofy and lovable. And like, he's just an actor with a wide range. He could play so many different things.
Yeah.
But Phil, I wouldn't necessarily need the actors to play the full range. I saw Phil as kind of the bitter, broken down, like he's the warning of what Rick Deckard could become if follows down that path. He's like kind of the, you know, what you don't want to become.
Right.
And then the other actor I chose was Woody Harrelson.
Ooh, yeah. I can just, even from like Solo, it kind of, you can kind of see that.
Right.
Where he was the broken down, he's seen some shit.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is what Han Solo could turn into if he continues down this path.
Right. Yeah. If he stays in the life. And yeah, exactly. Totally. I thought that was a good choice.
Yeah. I like that. I like both of those.
Of course, I thought it was a good choice. It was my choice.
I like both of them. They are really
good. It's up to the audience to really tell me if that's a good choice or not.
I'm telling you, it's a good choice.
All right.
Okay. We've got, next?
I think, three different characters left, and they're kind of all minor characters. One plays kind of a big role in the theme of the story.
You want to do that one? Mercer, right?
Yeah, Mercer.
Let's do, yeah.
Okay.
It's a religion.
Mercerism, yeah, is kind of the religion of the far future of 1998.
Right. And it's all about empathy and, I guess, suffrage and all sorts of good stuff.
Suffering. So he's kind of a, I guess, a Christ-like figure. He's the focal point of this religion.
And you get to experience him by holding the two little joysticks, and you get to experience his, I guess, sacrifice for everyone.
Right. You feel what he feels as he's crawling through this endless desert.
And all, yeah. So, in my headcanon, this is one of the headcanon ones I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
I always imagined him as Ed Harris.
Okay.
And
can totally see that.
Yeah. And this was even before Westworld came out.
Really?
Because I read this
before. Yeah, you read it quite a while ago.
Yeah. So, he was always my headcanon John Mercer.
Nice.
Just could, like, see, like, the, yeah, kind of like, I guess, from the Truman Show, kind of wise, but yeah, he's definitely an idol figure.
I can see that. That's good.
My other one, who I think would just be really good at that, as that role, would be Kevin Bacon.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think he has the range to do that. Mm-hmm. I was mostly just envisioning the Kevin Bacon from X-Men First Class, the first movie.
Okay.
Kind of that villain, and he knows more, and not kind of the Kevin Bacon from Footloose.
Right. Well, that was many years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good choice.
Yeah.
That would be a good way to go.
Almost kind of like, not really a villain, but someone who, I guess, people in America can feel their emotions on screen.
Right.
And definitely
project onto him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who'd you choose?
I'm gonna say my second choice first. My second choice was Keanu Reeves.
Okay.
Someone you could definitely project your emotions upon.
Yeah.
Because the characters he tends to play are definitely blank slates.
Right. John Wick.
Right. And but he's old enough now that he could have that kind of older father figure type,
right,
prophet role. The second choice was more of an older man, John Noble.
Okay.
Who I don't know what he's done lately, but his big role was as Walter in Fringe.
Oh, which I loved. Oh yeah, him.
Right. But playing less as the silly Walter from our universe, and more of the, you know, competent, what's the word I'm looking for? The competent father figure type.
Right.
Kind of almost a leader. Priestly figure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Those are really good choices.
And then
Luba, I want to save Buster Friendly for last.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of figured that we were going there. Luba, yeah. Left.
Let's go to Luba Left. She's a singer. She's an android.
Right.
And they, Rick and Phil interview her, mm-hmm. because she's had contact with the other three who are holding up with John Isidore.
Right. Opera singer.
Yeah. Which I think it's illegal. No one knows that she's an android, right. Other than until the Blade Runners come in.
Right.
Right. Figure her out. But, so yeah, kind of someone innocent who's trying to fly under the radar and not get caught.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of casting choice I chose for her. And I wanted someone who also could sing.
Yeah. I included that in my casting notes as well.
Yeah. So, and I don't know if she can sing, one of my choices can sing, but the other one, I'll say it first, Samantha Barks. She was in Les Miserables, the French musical. That's also one of...
You can just say Les Mis, I guess. Les Mis,
okay. It's one of my favorite musicals, and I really like the...
I haven't actually seen that.
It's good. I like it. I'll watch it anytime.
Do you have a picture of her?
I don't. I can pull one up real quick.
Okay, we'll finish your picks, yeah. And then when I'm doing my choice, you can...
Moana Baccarin.
Morena
Baccarin.
Okay.
As the other one.
Yeah.
Just kind of the, I want to fly under the radar. I don't totally. Want to cause trouble. Very pretty for the role because she's a singer, opera singer.
Right.
Innocent. And I think, yeah, either of those women would kill that role.
Yeah.
And then be killed.
And then die. Because, you know.
Who'd you choose?
For Luba, my first choice was Zooey Deschanel.
Ooh.
She can sing.
She can.
Demonstrated singer. She's pretty. She's not someone that I think you would suspect of being an android.
Right.
Right. She's definitely playing it up as playing up the human aspects, the empathy aspects, which, man, it's been a while since. So I might be talking out of my ass on this, but the whole idea of a singer. Someone who, oh, okay, yeah.
Samantha Barks, I just showed him a picture of her.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I can see that. Is that they can connect with their audience, so that someone who is an accomplished singer would have lots of the empathy that this book is suggesting is a requirement for human life. My second choice is Lea Michele.
Okay.
From the Glee.
Glee, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Also a singer, very pretty, you know, the whole thing. Very white, but, you know, what can you do?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that leaves Buster Friendly.
Oh, I think that was one of my favorite characters in the book, just because it was...
Right. Buster Friendly, who
over
is...
the top.
Yeah.
He's every single late-night comedy co-host mixed into one.
Right, and he's on the air all the time. In fact, it's impossible for one person to be on the air as much as Buster Friendly is, which kind of hints that maybe he's not human.
Right, or there's different copies of him.
Could be more than one copy, could be an android, could be a program, who knows.
But he's, yeah, the late night TV show host.
Right.
And he,
I bet. Yeah,
everyone loves him.
I'm placing a mental bet with myself that Max picked someone for this role that I also picked, but maybe not. I don't know. Maybe. I could lose this bet.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if you've heard of this guy. This is my headcanon for Buster Friendly.
Okay.
McIntyre. He is a late night comedy show host in England.
Okay.
And he is hilarious. When I went to Ireland, he was on TV again. I knew him from before, but he is just hilarious. I have a picture of him I prepared.
Okay.
And he's really...
I see the picture and I immediately go, yes, that's Buster Friendly.
Yeah.
That's totally him.
And yeah, he's just a hilarious dude. And he's my headcanon for Buster Friendly.
That would work. That's hard to top.
And then the other one, who I tried to stay away from talk show hosts who were actual talk show hosts.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose a comedian, and I think she's really funny. Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think she could definitely do a really good job as Buster Friendly.
Absolutely. Yeah. Life of the party.
Exactly.
Always talking, you know.
Can be on TV 25/7, 25/8.
Right.
Never ending
or more,
show. Yeah.
Even multiple channels.
You can stream her. You can listen to a podcast of her.
Right.
Yeah. Everything.
Saturate the media. Yeah, that would be funny.
So yeah, neither of those two.
My first choice, and the one that I thought that you might also pick, but apparently I was wrong. You went deeper than I did. Donald Glover.
Yeah, he was one of my scratches on there.
Oh, okay.
And then I was just...
Can I see?
Yeah.
Can I see?
Yeah.
I believe you. I just, you know.
Yeah.
Where? Oh, yep. Donald Glover.
Yeah. Yes. He was on my list.
Totally.
And then I was like, these other ones are really good.
Okay. And my second choice, which I did kind of the same thing you did, that gender bent the character, Kate Blanchett.
Okay.
Kate Blanchett just more of Kate Blanchett everywhere, yeah. Really. Yeah. I could totally see her as that kind of a kind of smarmy, charming
late night talk show host.
Slightly sinister late night TV host.
Yeah. I like it.
Very good.
I also would have picked Conan O'Brien too. He would have just been just as good, but I was trying to stay away from
actual
late, other than Michael McIntyre,
right?
Because he was my headcanon version of Buster Friendly.
Cool.
I think that was everybody, right?
Right. If we could get just even a fraction of these people into one production, it would probably be incredibly popular. And that was your phone.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I would definitely watch the hell out of that. If we can get one or two of these people to be in our dream cast of Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep.
Right.
Netflix. Hopefully you're listening and you can...
Right. Can we make this happen?
We're some good casting directors here. We have some good ideas for people.
Yes.
For Philip K. Dick books, because we both seem to like Philip K. Dick.
Shall we do the final casting call?
Yeah, let's do it. Deckard and Iran. Who are you going to choose?
John Cho and Betty Gilpin.
Nice. I think I'm going to go Michael B. Jordan and Elizabeth Moss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be a dynamite pairing too.
Yeah.
And then Roy and Irmgard Batty.
Yeah, that power couple. I think I'm going to go John Berthenthal and Lupita Nyong'o. Yeah.
I'm sure I'm saying that wrong.
I think, yeah, both of them would just be dynamite as that power couple.
Michael B. Jordan and Charlize Theron.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, they would just tear shit up.
They would.
Check the box. We're now an explicit podcast.
Well, I think I already dropped one earlier.
I don't remember what order we did these in, because they're not the same order on my list.
Yeah, I think next? We did Pris next.
Pris next?
Yeah.
Who did you have? Who do you...
I think I'm going to go Gail Gadot, Wonder Woman.
Okay. Can see that.
Who'd you pick?
Going to go a different direction and pick Natalie Dormer.
Okay. I like it. Rachel?
We did Rachel next.
I'm going to go with Emilia Clarke, Mother of Dragons.
Mother of Dragons, yes. Hannah John Kamen.
Yeah, I like it.
She was my first pick. We did John next, I believe.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Peter Dinklage.
I'm going to stick with Chris Pratt.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice, Chris Pratt. Who else was next? I think we did Mercerism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with my headcanon. It has to be Ed Harris.
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, both. Either of those would just kill that role, even though he's not really in it all that much. But
no, but it's an important theme.
It is.
There would be at least, that you the know.
Movie seemed to miss.
Yeah.
Luba.
Zoe Deschanel.
I think I'm going to go with Samantha Barks from Les Mis.
Okay.
Phil Reich.
I really like Woody Harrelson.
I do too.
That's my pick.
You would just kill it.
You have your own picks.
I think I'm going to go Winston Duke.
Okay.
I think, yeah, that would just be really good.
That would be hilarious.
I'm going to feed you to the gorillas. They're
John Isidore? I think we skipped over to Isidore.
No, we did Isidore.
Oh, no, right.
I picked Dinklage.
Right. I take that back.
Feel
free to cut that out.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm the editor.
Yeah, editors. I think Buster Friendly was the last one.
Okay.
I'm going to go Michael McIntyre.
Kate Blanchett.
Yeah.
As much as I want Donald Glover and everything, Kate Blanchett, I think, would be.
I'm glad Donald Glover made this podcast, because he, like I said, he was already on
there's
my
just,
list.
There's just, you know, I mean.
And he's just so charming. He just, yeah.
Right.
I would watch
him in everything.
In everything. I'd watch him as a late night TV show host who was on at every hour.
Absolutely.
On every channel.
He'd be doing the Lando thing.
He would.
Would totally be Lando as a late night talk show host.
And that's who I would want that Buster Friendly to be. Interviewing the same movie stars over and over, and it's still fresh and
right. New.
Well, okay. Well, thanks for joining us. That was the final casting call for Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? You should definitely read that book. It's not very long, but it's really good, and it might mess you up and make you think that other people aren't human, because some people in this world don't seem to have any empathy.
This is true. It's, yeah. I mean, it's an observation that he made many, many decades ago, and it still seems to hold true.
Yep.
Max, if people wanted to get a hold, like send us notes and things on the podcast, how would they do that?
Well, they can email something at uncasting.com.
What would they email, though?
Something.
At uncasting.com?
Yeah, at uncasting.com. You can also email us something if you want. We
email us something to something
at uncasting.com. And you can also find me on the Instagram and Twitter, and it's at my name, Max Brum, MaxBrumm.
Mm-hmm.
Where can the lovelies find you on the social medias?
Lovelies of all genders can find me on Instagram at Lunar Obverse, LUNARObverse. I am also that on Twitter. The podcast is at Uncasting Pod on Instagram and Twitter. We like to post post pictures to promote the podcast on Instagram and Twitter. So watch for that there. Download the episode, rate and review and subscribe.
Yeah, and tell your friends about it too. And yeah.
Get the word out. Share your favorite podcast.
Exactly. Hopefully it's us.
5-star reviews get read on the podcast.
Yeah, we will do a special episode for the reviews to that date. Please bring them. Make them funny.
Thank you for listening. Make us laugh.
But I have a real question, though.
Uh-oh.
Do androids really dream of electric sheep?
No.
Okay.
The answer is no, because they're androids. They don't have feelings of empathy and sympathy for lesser creatures.
Okay. Do you think Archer, the family dog, is a real dog?
Oh, yes. Oh, no, he's totally a real dog.
Okay, cool. And he's a good boy.
He's a good boy. All dogs are good boys.
Even electric dogs. Thanks for joining us this week.
Thank you.
Boop.